You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. And for the rest of the hour, we're going to be talking about some advances in fetal stem cell research. This is something new we haven't really talked about on Science Friday. And as you know, if you saw presidential candidate John Kerry last night, he gave stem cell research a ringing endorsement at the Democratic National Convention in Boston. And it comes at a time of a new research finding out this week, published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Stanford University researchers have shown that human fetal stem cells from the brain, when transplanted into rats, not only survive, but they have the ability to migrate towards the stroke-damaged area and develop into neurons there. And since 700,000 Americans suffer a stroke each year, it occurs usually when a clot blocks a blood vessel, or if a blood vessel burst, cuts off the supply of oxygen and nutrients to an area of the brain that causes brain damage. Parts of those neurons die there. So could stem cell research help repair that brain damage? So for the rest of the hour, we're going to talk about this interesting new work. And if you'd like to join our conversation, our number is 1-800-989-8255. My guest is Gary Steinberg, chairman of the Department of Neuroscience. And he's at Stanford University School of Medicine in Stanford, California. He's also co-director of the Neuroscience Institute and the Stanford Stroke Center there, and senior author on the stem cell study published this week. He joins us by phone from Phoenix. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Steinberg.
Good morning.
Good afternoon to you. Tell us briefly what you did. Describe, if you could, in a nutshell, the experiment you performed.
What we did was to examine the ability of human neuronal stem cells to survive, migrate, and differentiate or turn into appropriate cells in the brain after transplanting them into the brain of rats who had sustained a stroke.
So you took stem cells from what, human fetuses, aborted human fetuses, is that correct?
These were stem cells that were originally derived from donated fetal brain tissue.
Right.
That's right. This was years ago, and they were these cells were grown and cultured in petri dishes, and so they were maintained as a cell line in a lab dish, and those are the cells that we use.
And so you put them into the brains of mice who had suffered a stroke, and they were able to migrate to the area of the...
Right. It was quite remarkable, actually, and we didn't expect it. Transplanted these cells into rat brains 1 week after the rats had sustained a stroke, which we caused. And what we found was that, to our surprise, not only did we find quite robust survival of these cells in a very hostile environment, which the stroke creates, but that the cells migrated directionally to the stroke rather than other places in the brain. And furthermore, they differentiated or turned into appropriate cells in the brain for that site.
Were you able to tell if they were actually cured the lesion there?
So, great question. No, we didn't look at that, and we're examining it now. And that's the next step, is to determine whether these transplanted cells, which migrate to the right area and turn into neurons, whether they can repair the functional damage of the stroke. So we're doing experiments to examine the behavior.
So many questions I have to ask. Let me first ask, it's a fascinating study. How did the cells know where to go and what to do once they were put into the brain?
Excellent question. We don't know for sure, but our hypothesis is that they are reacting to chemicals or signals given off by the stroke called chemokines. And in fact, we showed in a preliminary experiment as part of this study that the stem cells actually have a receptor for one of those chemokines. It's called CXCR4. So that we believe that these signals given off by the stroke or damaged area attracts the cells because of their receptors.
Would that be normally, normally happening in a brain that suffers from a stroke, but there is nothing there to go and rescue them?
Right. In the normal brain where we don't transplant, there are some new cells generated, new stem cells, but the response is not very very robust, and so it's not enough to actually repair the tissue.
I want to get into a bit about the cells you used in the experiment itself. I think people are going to be confused about the difference between embryonic stem cells, which we've heard a lot about, and fetal stem cells. Please try to differentiate that for us.
Let me explain a little bit about the different types of stem cells. Embryonic stem cells originate from the blastocyst, which is a small ball of cells, and those cells have the ability to become any type of cell in the body, including brain, liver, skin, heart, bone. Adult stem cells already live or reside in the adult tissues, where they can repair damage and replace lost cells, but they can only become the cells that would normally be found in that tissue. Fetal stem cells are like adult stem cells, but they're restricted, and like adult stem cells, they're restricted to forming cells from their tissue of origin. So fetal cells from the brain only can become brain cells, but the fetal cells respond better to chemicals in the brain that signal damage, and they're better than the adult stem cells at migrating to the injured area and dividing to form appropriate cell types. The current government policy, which restricts the use of certain types of stem cells, only applies to the embryonic stem cells, not to adult stem cells or fetal stem cells.
Are there enough various kinds of fetal stem cells that you could use them to treat various kinds of other illnesses that you might be using embryonic stem cells for?
So far, there are only selected lines of fetal stem cells, but others are being developed.
And what are they? Do you have them off the top of your head?
Besides the brain cells, scientists are working on fetal cells derived from pancreas, for instance, in the hope of trying to repair diabetes, fetal stem cells from heart, fetal stem cells from liver, and other organs.
So is there any time soon where we might see human trials on these cells?
So that's an interesting point. We are not planning to move into trials with stroke patients right now. However, trials are already being planned with these same fetal brain stem cells for a rare disease, which is known as Batten's disease, and that's a fatal neurodegenerative storage disease where the children die at a very early age because they accumulate too much of a detrimental protein in the neurons. It's due to a missing enzyme that they are born with. So currently trials are actually being planned for this devastating disease using these same cells and transplanting them into the child's brain.
And as far as the rat brain studies here, when would you know if they in fact had repaired any of the damage?
So we're looking at behavior in the animals, and we're looking at a 4-month period after the transplantation. Those studies are ongoing, so we don't have the results yet, and we're actually working on ways to improve the survival and migration even more by blunting the inflammatory response. See, that's one of the things that tends to suppress the normal native stem cell survival and migration and differentiation, and also suppress to some extent the transplanted cells. We found that the more inflammatory cells that were present associated with the stroke, the fewer of the stem cells that survived.
So the immune system would be eating the stem cells up.
That's right, and that's a problem which we're working on right now using some over the counter for anti-inflammatory medications as an example.
Oh, so I see. Just like it's like doing a transplant, and you need to.
That's right, and these rats were immunosuppressed with cyclosporin, which suppresses some of the immune response, but it doesn't suppress the another type of immune response called the monocytic inflammatory response, which invokes the macrophages and the microglia and the monocytes.
Go ahead.
I was going to say one of the interesting things is that almost half of the cells turn into neurons, And very few of the cells turn into the supporting astrocytes, and none of the cells turn into the oligodendrocytes, which are the cells which make myelin, which coats the and insulates the nerves. And that's very interesting because these same cells, when put into a mouse mutant animal that doesn't make myelin, and it's called the shiverer mouse because it shivers because the nerves don't work right, these same cells, when put into that brain, actually many of them turn into the oligodendrocytes and make the myelin, so that the cells seem to be very smart, and they seem to know how to respond to the microenvironment, depending on what is needed for that particular injured brain.
Huh. Talking with Dr. Gary Steinberg about his stem cell research on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. Sort of the brain is doing triage and knows which is most needed at that point.
That's right.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and we're trying to figure out what are the signals that are not only determining migration to the area, but what are the signals that determine the fate of those cells.
And how does the brain decide what signals have priorities? This is amazing. This is fascinating.
I don't know. Do you have any ideas? we have quite a bit of work to do yet, but we're very, very encouraged by the progress so far, and this is a huge step forward.
It's just, you know, it seems like there's so much that we know, but there's so much we haven't the slightest idea yet.
That's absolutely right, and there's an enormous potential for stem cell technology to repair brain tissue for many diseases like stroke and spinal cord injury, brain trauma, even Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease. But we have years of research yet, in the preclinical arena before we can, I think, successfully translate this into effective therapy for patients.
Is the U.S., because of the restrictions on federal funding here, is the U.S. suffering in this research as compared to other countries?
I believe that, yes, the U.S. is suffering. I think it's restricting our ability to really do the most innovative and important research.
Mm-hmm. Is other work going abroad on this?
Yeah, I mean, there are even reports of U.S. scientists leaving the country so they can be permitted to use certain types of cell lines, and research being done at non-government institutions,
right,
in the U.S.
Other studies about using these fetal stem cells in the brain, other besides stroke, any other experiments that might be on any other kinds of neurodegenerative diseases?
Other groups are starting to look at these stem cells for spinal cord injury, see if that kind of damage can be corrected. Inborn inherited errors such as this Batten's disease, which is a storage disease in the brain, there are some other indications which are being considered, like Parkinson's disease.
Anything about Alzheimer's? We've heard so much.
Alzheimer's is one of the great hopes that we can treat ultimately the dementia associated with it by using some kind of stem cell transplantation technology. Yeah. So far, we're not able to use the cells. Haven't been exploring it in that particular model, but ultimately we believe that there will be significant potential for that kind of therapy.
And you've got to figure out that signaling. Why the brain makes certain priorities about what kind of cell it's going to turn it into.
Exactly. There's a lot of rigorous science that needs to be done, and I should emphasize that it's so important to do well-controlled experiments and be sure that the results can be replicated and are true.
Well, I want to thank you very much for taking time to talk with us, and please come back when you've got some more results on those long-term studies.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Gary Steinberg is the chairman of the Department of Neuroscience and co-director of the Neuroscience Institute and Stanford Stroke Center at Stanford University. Earlier, we spoke with Leslie Orgel, senior fellow and research professor in the Chemical Evolution Laboratory at Salk Institute in La Jolla, California, Charlie Santerre, associate professor of the Department of Foods and Nutrition at Purdue University in West Lafayette, Indiana. Thank all of them for joining us today.